What is good? Welcome to another episode of the Behind the Wheel podcast. I'm Scott from Koenig, Rich from Koenig. We're here for another glorious podcast on this beautiful Wheel Wednesday.
Yeah, how you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. So let's get right into our topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So electric vehicles are certainly coming hard and fast. There's also this other thing where we're starting to see so many more renderings for vehicles that were traditional pedigree vehicles, right? Like mm-hmm. we saw the Charger. Obviously, Mach-E, right. Mustangs.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen F-150 Lightnings. We've seen so many vehicles now as they make the jump from, internal combustion engine to electric vehicle. We've watched their platforms change and progress. We've watched their platforms, in some ways they're better, in other ways maybe not so much, especially to an enthusiast, right?
Yeah.
But what we're thinking is, like, how does this EV standard, how does this EV change the vehicles? And I think the most startling thing that brought this up to when we were talking about it
mm-hmm.
is just the idea that, like, that new Charger. I mean, I really think that Charger is such a good example.
Right.
The Charger, if you haven't seen it, I think Max will probably get some stuff in while we're talking here. But
mm-hmm.
if you haven't seen it, it is, I mean, I think externally the car looks phenomenal.
It does.
You know what I mean? It has all the right cues. And I think that when you think about what a car could look like if the future was here but still retain the appearance of a car, not a flying spaceship,
mm-hmm.
I think this rendering and this vehicle, this concept vehicle, it does it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some other things as EVs keep kind of progressing into every single manufacturer's arsenal that we're going to see, and it leaves some questions in my mind about, well, what is going to be different,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, for example, we know Hyundai,
right,
to have a certain position in the market.
Yep.
Does that mean that all of the EV Hyundais are going to change? Like, is the interior of those vehicles going to become so much more than it was? Are there going to be other features and amenities? Are there going to be other options that will become standard on these vehicles that maybe just because a vehicle is electric will change the whole game and change the playing field for a lot of these vehicles?
Right. I mean, I think when you look at a brand like Hyundai, a little more of a affordable brand, something like
right.
that. And then when they want to make their electric lineups, which they have a bunch of cars,
mm-hmm.
Will the features that they put into their electric vehicles, how is that going to compare or contrast to their regular cars?
Yeah. Well, and let's even go one step further. What happens when their fleet is basically all electric?
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of wind this back just a hair, the thing that I can't keep up with is that I've been in a fair share now of electric vehicles, especially ones that came from traditional manufacturers, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Hyundais, like, they have Ioniqs and they have
yep.
some other vehicles. And what's starting to happen is the interiors and the amenities and, everything's modernizing much faster than the traditional internal combustion engine vehicles. And I think that's just because they're like, hey, look, they've taken on this premise of, and don't get me wrong, vehicle manufacturers, they probably start 5 years before these vehicles have come out to develop these cars,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think they figured, well, if we're going electric, we have to make it like this wave of the future. So their interiors are drastically different than things. We're seeing more amenities. We're seeing more standard options and features. And we've seen this in concept cars. So is that going to be the norm? Like, are is there going to be a playing field? Is it going to be just as nice riding in a Hyundai as it is maybe in a Mercedes?
That's hard to say because, you know, with the luxury car, you expect to have all the greatest features, materials, stuff like that. Just right. kind of a, you know, really comfortable overall, you know, car.
Right.
And when you start going into some of these new EV cars, if they're not doing engineering expenses on, you know, combustion engine design, stuff like that, they have more resources to put towards features, interior.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point. You know, I know that so many people, and I'm sure that this way, you know, far outweighs price tag wise, but so many people have been very on the pricing side saying, well, these electric vehicles are expensive. You're not going to get your money back. Mm-hmm. This, that, the other thing takes X amount of years. My question that even kind of reflects to myself is that inherently, and I'll go out on a limb and say this, vehicles that the electric vehicles for the OEs, to me, if I'm an OE, like I'm super excited about electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not much going on there. Like engineering wise, the ability to not have to, we're at the end and the edge of what the internal combustion engine is capable of as far as its efficiency. Like we've walk down this path. I'm not talking about the addition of adding other systems like adding hybrid systems. We're talking about the internal combustion engine. We have done probably everything we really can in a milestone feature to get that, you know, that whole design as efficient as possible. We can't go too much further. They have put so many systems. There are so many systems and so many complicated pieces and moving pieces for an internal combustion engine that just won't be needed with an electric vehicle. It literally is like you're talking about, you know, car companies able to just drop these electric motors in, set their power, you know, set their power levels, all the low, you know, low amps. And their low side CAN bus circuits and stuff like that run all your accessories inside the car. It's completely independent. So, like, man, like this is it's if I'm an OE, I'm super happy about EV. It just made my life a lot easier. I don't have to worry about the emission standards and all this stuff that they get choked up in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a cost savings there. We've seen Ford lately. They let, I think, 3,000 people go. White collar, because they don't need them to organize these systems as they build future vehicles.
Right.
So, you know, the vehicles may come down in price or become much more affordable in other ways, like maybe not necessarily cost, you know, but maybe it will be in, you know, the overall manufacturer savings for the production of these vehicles. So what is it? But what does it look like? Like we're it's so different. So now do they put extra time and effort into developing other amenities and features for these cars?
That seems to be what they're doing. I mean, you know, a lot of these EV brands have, you know, they showcase all these crazy features that the cars will have, whether it's, you know, self-driving or stuff like that. But Scott, let me ask a question to you. Would be that would you feel then that a combustion engine cars have reached their limit in terms of stuff like horsepower and EPA efficiency and stuff like that without the help of a electric motor?
I think to
their highest degrees.
Yeah. So I don't know about from a power perspective, right? Because mm-hmm. I think that we've certainly had plenty of OEs that have produced very, very high performance vehicles and high horsepower cars out of the internal combustion engine. I love the ICE, and I personally think that, you know, the power wise, like, you know, you could potentially make the sky the limit. But when it comes down to manufacturing a vehicle, the complexity of an internal combustion engine to me is far reduced when you go to an electric vehicle.
Yep.
Like there's just not. You don't have the moving pieces. You don't have gas tanks. You don't have, you know what I mean? Like there's just so many things you just don't have.
Maintenance is different. Yeah.
Maintenance is mm-hmm. different. You don't have to. So, and so that, you know, that's a whole other story. Like what happens with some of these, you know, car companies and people that are like, what's the maintenance of, like, you only need two guys, one guy out of instead of 10 to service these vehicles? I don't know. But what do you think? So they're putting all these amenities into these cars. You know, it really starts to blur the line between what is considered luxury and what isn't, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that would consider Tesla a luxury, you know, brand, which they're not.
Right.
I think a lot of people might have that confused just by looks and features alone.
And price.
And price, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that raises... So, here's one for you.
Yeah.
If you look at, say, Nissan, if you do their sedans...
Yep.
Say you go Versa, Sentra, Altima, Maxima.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Their entry-level EV car, or their only EV car, I think, is the Nissan Leaf. And that that comes in at like $30,000. Is that cheap? Yeah, it's a relatively inexpensive EV car, but I'm sure the, you know, current prices are higher than that.
Right.
But if they want to introduce, say, a mid-level or high trim EV sedan as opposed to the Leaf, you know, where are you looking then? That all of a sudden, if they want to make a high-end sedan that's EV and you know, a better version of the Leaf, we're going to be sitting what, $45,000-$50,000?
Well, but I think that we're just at that intro stage where things are just slightly too complicated. Like people, when these manufacturers are running to do EVs, I think they're just really at that at edge where they're doing their best to make a splash when they release these cars because they don't want them to flop.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to stay like that forever. Like, in other words, I do believe personally that, you know, your Hyundai vehicles will have a Hyundai price point and a Hyundai, you know, option package that's respective. And then, and I think that when it comes down to Mercedes, you're going to see them be every bit of the luxury vehicle they are, but they'll just be electric. Like, BMW did this really great job. I don't know if anybody's really been paying attention to that, but what BMW did was, without really much hype, without a lot of noise or anything like that, they released basically every model that they make almost an electric. You could see them. You'll sometimes see like a 3 Series or a 4 Series cruising around, maybe even a 5 Series, and you think, oh, well, that's a cool 3 Series or 5 Series. And then you look and it doesn't say, you know, 440. It says i4, right? Like, it says i4 on it. So what happened there, right? Like, we already know that a few... A few weeks ago, BMW put out this thing about how they were going to start charging for subscription features on their cars. So look, it's arguably that your vehicle will come with more things than you'll have in your disposal to use, unless you want to pay an additional monthly fee to have them.
Right.
Is it conceivable that we will see the same thing with power?
I think you can only make that assumption. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so like, what's the difference? Is it really the motors? I think in some cases it is. We've seen in the Tesla, they have a good model, and some of the cars come with, you know, obviously one motor, some come with dual motors. Right. But even the single motors, there's obviously a power output that they contribute to the amount of battery range that they have. Long-term battery cars can have a faster power option than standard battery range cars. So, you know, I suspect that obviously all of those things will kind of carry through a little bit. And as battery technology gets better, so will the ranges and different power outputs. But then comes this other thing. At what point are we going to be limited and they're going to really basically say, well, you can have all this power, but your acceleration will be capped here?
That's going to be incoming. Or, you know, you've said it before, Scott, like the amount of power that the electric vehicles are going to start outputting are going to kind of exceed the current automobile market, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's and you know, especially with the tires, like you're going to get to a point where some of these cars are going to be able to out accelerate and out stop, maybe not so much stop, but out accelerate the current tire, you know, kind of technology that's there. And in which case, you know, what are we talking about? They're going to have to limit this stuff for safety.
Yep.
So then brings up this other thing. If they're going to limit that, those cars to safety, do they limit other things as well?
Yeah, I think they're going to. I mean, it's going to be like this car can go to, you know, what, 0 to 120 in 4 seconds.
That's crazy.
But you know, when they start going crazy numbers, but it's going to be capped off at 110 miles per hour. It could, but you can't.
So the question is, at any time, couldn't these manufacturers, even in this current state, have limited how fast the vehicle could go?
Yeah, of course.
So why now? Why now with electric? There's got to be something to, they're worried about burning out battery ranges or something with the motors that when you get up to that, it's not about the acceleration. It's all about, you know, when you prolong that type of speed, that it either depletes the batteries very quickly or you're in a situation where they're worried about overheating or burning out motors. There's got to be something else to it, right?
Yep. I don't know what it is.
Me either. I think about the departure of what we have here. Like, we have more computers in cars right now than ever before. There's no reason that a manufacturer couldn't have said basically like, hey, we'll allow you to go super fast right up until 75 miles an hour, and then the car won't go over 75 miles an hour. So, like, why are we seeing some of these EVs get restricted at 106 miles an hour?
Well, mainly for safety, maybe because the power is easily accessible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. I think the question really here is, though, like, what do you think? Like, if you're listening to this, you know, make sure you give your comments. But what happens with these EV vehicles? Are we going to see a sustained period of increased creature comforts, amenities, etc.? Or is this just part of the initial intro? And then eventually what's going to happen is vehicles will settle in to kind of being a very similar type of market position as they are now. Mm-hmm. But they'll have some things that obviously you'll need. I mean, I personally think that's going to be the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say so too.
Right, like because you're not gonna have a brand like Hyundai that's gonna want to have every car be $60,000 or no. You know, obviously things like.
But if they were to stagger their electric lineup right now, it would be, you know, getting close to something like that. If they wanted to make different tiers of a, you know, entry, mid, and high tier.
Well, it's gonna happen. I mean, like, you have these cars. Like, I personally, like, you know, I think BMW did it the way that I expected the most, which is not too much fuss. Like, yes, they became electric, but they didn't really harp on it. They were mm-hmm. kind of like, well, yeah, they're electric, but, you know, you still have the same performance, same options, same thing. Like, everything is the same.
Right.
But it happens to be electrical, like, you know.
They also did a pretty good job on the looks, too. If you like BMWs, it kind of just blends right in.
Well, because I think that's the point. Like, you can look at those cars and you could say, well, no, that's just a 4 series, mm-hmm. right? But no, it's an i4.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure about that XI or IX or whatever that is. That's a little wacky. Mm. You know, when we start talking about M performance, that's a good one, right? You see two options. They have the i4 eDrive 40, and then they have the i4 M50.
Yep.
And the M50 is their M-spec car. But you can look at the price there. That's not far off from where you would buy, you know, like, you know, kind of, I don't want to say an M5. I mean,
M2,
like
maybe.
Like an M, like, you know, kind of like a high-end 4 series. Mm-hmm. Not a high-end, you know, but like a loaded-up 4 series. That's kind of right where you are. So we're seeing the same brakes. We're seeing, you know, color options. We're seeing a car that resembles a car, not a spaceship. No wings, no ailerons, nothing that would make the thing like it's going to take flight because it has a battery in it.
Right. No crazy futuristic Cybertruck look.
Nope. I mean, I think that some of these companies need to get a little bit toned down on their wheel choices. I think they look kind of hideous. But mm-hmm. But aside from that, it's an electric car, has similar power. I wonder what the power is on this. Go to the specs and features down. But let's see. All right. So let's see. So they're equating this to a 536 horsepower car. 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds, up to 270 miles in range. This is interesting to me. Let me tell you why. They gave you a good number of horsepower, something that you would, that I know that there is no internal combustion engine 4 series that you can buy
making that kind of horsepower.
But with that you could buy from the dealership that comes with 530 horsepower. So we're getting more acceleration. No problem. Mm-hmm. There's your electric equivalent. 3.7 seconds, extremely respectable. I would imagine that the engine has more capability. The motor has more capability in it. And that's where the aftermarket, I think, is really going to start to come into play eventually. Range up to 270 miles. So we modest. Know what we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, modest, but probably right on par with what you would get in a gas in your gasoline 4 Series now.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like those cars, like I know my dad has one. Shout out to my dad. Shout out to my sister who for some reason told me I had to give her a shout out, which is like weird because like this is not my podcast. But I look at that car and I know that like, yeah, he could drive it on the highway and get 25, you know, to the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely he's going to be doing combined of about 18.
Yep.
Right. So I could see where those specs come into play. So what they've chosen to do is they've chosen to continue on the legacy of what maybe an improving, but what a traditional car that you're used to would feel like. The price is there. They've done this whole thing. I mean, it's very, very interesting because I think you have two takes right now. You're going to have the wild stuff like the Rivians and the stuff that have really never been out yet. Yep. You have Teslas, which is in their own lane to me. You're going to have some other electric vehicle companies. I think you're going to come out with some more modest things. But then you're going to have other car companies. They're going to have to figure out which direction they want to go. Do they keep improving and make every electric vehicle they come out look like, you know, oohs and ahs? Mm-hmm. Or is it become kind of the only thing that really is different here is – you know,
right. I think BMW, I think Ford with the Lightning really yep. hit it on the head. I mean, they look like, you know, the cars that win over their consumers, you know?
Yeah.
So I think something like that is always good. And when they go to more general OE makers and stuff like that, and they start implementing their kind of more blended in electric vehicles, I think they're going to get good responses.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting. And like you said, like, you know, when you looked at some of these things like the Charger and you looked at the interior is incredible.
It is incredible.
Right. So like your point to me was, hey, like, so what does that mean? Does that mean that like luxury vehicles, it's going to be like, how are they going to top this? How are these cars going to compete against each other when they're throwing the best of the best at something just because it's electric?
Yeah. I mean, a question that I kind of came to my head was, you know, what's more luxurious? Is it having really fine materials and a nice space to be in, or having tons of amenities and features and stuff? I mean, the Rivian R1, I showed you, you can get a full kitchen in it. I mean, to me, that's luxurious. I mean, you could, that's a luxury to me.
Which compartment do they stuff the chef in?
Well, that's when you go to YouTube.
But, you know, look, even the Rivian stuff, it looks like a standard vehicle,
mm-hmm.
right? It's definitely modernized. They definitely have more creature comforts and stuff. But I think that's the development of the car. Like Tesla did the same thing. They have a lot of little trick niche things. This is great. You can put your kids probably back in there. I think about this stuff and I think that this is going to be truly a interesting game because – like when I look at the Rivian, is that really a price point thing? Like the Rivian is way more expensive
mm-hmm.
than like your regular Hyundai Ioniq.
Right, but they don't market themselves as a luxury brand either. They're about like adventure and stuff like that and like you know, right. capability a sense.
And I would argue that I don't look at that vehicle and I think luxury.
Yeah.
Right? Like I do look at it as a regular vehicle platform. Man, but I'll tell you though, you know, throwing down mid 70s for well, you know, that's probably not that far either. There's really not too many pickup trucks that you can get for under $60,000 anymore either.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Interesting. But there's a thought there. You know, I'm interested to see what some of you think out there. So if you are listening on iTunes, iHeartMedia, Spotify, Stitcher, you know, Google Play, all that stuff, go over to YouTube, throw your comments in. Let us know. You know, what do you think? Where do you think the evolution of electric vehicles is going to be, especially when it starts to come down to creature comforts, like kind of positioning? Like, are we gonna see the same cars? Like, does it feel like everything else is kind of borderline the same, with the exception of, you know, you don't have to go to the gas station anymore. You have to plug into your wall outlet and hope you don't overload your circuits and blow your house apart trying to charge a car.
Yeah. I mean, that itself is also, you know, something they must be struggling with. I mean, people who don't have their own homes or, you know, rent or live in an apartment or something like that.
Right.
They don't even have the option to do this.
Right.
So.
Like, what about people that live in their car? Is that not a thing anymore?
Yeah, I guess
like,
not.
So, like, right? Like, what do you have to do? You have to, like,
you try have to find. Own
so
a
now,
house.
Yeah. So now nobody's going to be siphoning gas. They're going to be trying to, like, plug into other people's houses and stuff.
Yeah. Right.
That's kind of wild. So, I don't know. What do you think? Anything else you want to. You want to add to this topic?
No, I think we kind of hit upon our points here.
Yeah, that's our thoughts. So yeah. Let us know what your thoughts are. That's it's interesting. Real quick before we head out of here, if you are not subscribed to our YouTube channel, Koenig Wheels USA, make sure you get subscribed because that's where we do a lot of our wheel giveaways. We've talked about this all the time. We've done 5 this year. You want to see some more. That's how we're going to be able to kind of run those things. If you're not subscribed to YouTube, you will miss them, I promise you. Also, we put up a piece of content on Friday. This Friday, I believe we're doing an FAQ on lug nuts. Now, I will caution you, for the people that think that, oh, that's going to be boring, I'm going to skip it, don't, because I have been seeing more comments on our FAQ and some of our educational stuff than I believe I have seen on most of our content. And I think it's because there is a lot of practical value and there's a lot of things that, you know, even recording here, like what were you recording, whether it be Max or Luis or you, like sometimes like I'll even rattle off something to answer a question. You'll be like, oh, I didn't even know that. Like they're just random things. So make sure that you are, you know, in the loop for that stuff. We put up a piece of content on Friday, and I believe Max has been trying to get them up around 5 o'clock or so Eastern time. So make sure you head over there, check it out. Make sure you're subscribed and click that notification bell. Also, last thing, don't forget that we go live on Instagram and Facebook right before this every Wednesday, every Wheel Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, where we answer your questions. Q&A, live, you come in, you hang out with us, doing it for a few years now. It's a good place for you to know where we're going to be every week, answer your questions. You can get anything you want answered. Sometimes we drop some cool hidden gems on there and some interesting stuff, and that's really all I got for you. Listen, take care of yourself. Have a good week. Do some cool car stuff. You're running out of summer. We will talk to you soon. Take care.